I got to check and see if I'm on here. Looks like I'm on. It's good to see everyone here. It's good to be here tonight. I believe it was exactly almost a year ago that I was here on the preacher exchange, the rotation. And it was in March of last year, and I had just started at Ironton. And we've been there now for a year. And I've made it now around to all the area congregations in the exchange and been excited about that. Whatever it takes. That's the title of our lesson. Whatever it takes. If you have your Bibles, I want you to open up to the book of Mark. And we're going to be looking at chapter 2 in Mark. And you think about, you know, whatever it takes sometimes is like maybe a sports theme. And people will do whatever it takes to get to the championship, or they'll do whatever it takes to make the team, and they'll do whatever it takes to win the game. So what we've got to ask ourselves, will we do whatever it takes to reach out to our neighbors with the gospel of peace? Will we do whatever it takes to find and to obey the gospel ourselves and to be faithful to God? Will we do whatever it takes to get close to Jesus Christ? I hope that your answer is yes. Because we must do whatever it takes in our life. We need to get rid of there. You know, there's a lot of stuff that gets in the way, isn't there? There's a lot of distractions in this world. A lot of things that kind of creep up and we allow them to get in front of us and we take our eye off of Jesus Christ. You know, when we look at a passage that Paul wrote to the church of Philippi in Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, he says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." In other words, you forget about all the distractions, everything that keeps us from focusing on Christ. Leave those things behind and reach forward to those things which are ahead. He says in verse 14, "I press for the mark for the prize of the upward call in Christ Jesus." So first of all, we got to be in Christ in order to reach toward Christ. And that is that we separate ourselves from the world, the worldly stuff. We die to it. We're buried in a watery grave of baptism where our sins are washed away, and we're raised out of that watery grave to walk in newness of life. Now when we come to our text here in Mark chapter 2, we see a group of people that will do whatever it takes to get their friend, a paralyzed man who has been paralyzed his entire life, to get him close to Jesus. Notice, here we start in verse 1. It says, "And again he entered Capernaum. After some days it was heard that he was in the house. Immediately many gathered together so that there was no longer room to receive them, not even near the door. And he preached the word to them." So the scene is this. We have this house here. And the people find out that Jesus is there. And so what they do is they all rush to this house and they fill this house up because they want to get close and hear the word of Christ. But wouldn't that be nice? And what I mean by that, wouldn't that be nice to have to rush to get here so because we would have a full house wanting to hear the blessed message of Jesus Christ? Let me tell you, brothers and sisters and friends, this is the best place to be to hear the word of God. This is the place that we need to be. And we need to do whatever it takes to get here and to be together and to open up this word. This is the most important thing. You know, God's not going to come down to your coffee table. He's not going to sit down in your home and start talking to you. That's not how it works. We talk to God through prayer. God has already talked to us in that He gave us His word. We want to listen. We want to know what God wants for us in our lives. All we got to do is open up the Word of God and listen to what He has already said. So we look at this, we see that these people, they rushed, they went into this house, they filled this house up with people, and we see then, verse 3, "Then there came to him, bringing a paralytic, who was carried by four men. And when they could not come near to him because of the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. So when they had broken through, they let down the bed on which the paralytic was lying." Now, first of all, the first point we want to look at is that they would do whatever it takes, first of all, to be helpful. these friends. They wanted their friend to get the healing power of Jesus. Now, the houses in Capernaum were a little bit different than our houses that we have today. Kind of the idea of their house, it would be have a flat roof. Usually it would have maybe some branches and some mud that would dry together and be a part of that. And many times in Capernaum, they would actually go up on top of the roof in the coolness of the evening to actually sit. And they could sleep up on top of the roofs. And on the side of their house, there would be a stairwell that would go up to the top of the roof. So what the friends thought was, we can't get in the front door. We can't get through a window. There's no back door. We're going to go up on top of the roof. We're going to cut a hole in top of this roof. And we're going to drop down our friend so that he can get close to Jesus. I think about this sometimes. You know, did they ever ask? We don't have any message in here that they asked the owner of the house if they could open up, if they could cut a hole in their house. If I was sitting and I had a bunch of friends over, and all of a sudden there was a saw that was coming through my roof, I would be a little concerned. But here we find that they didn't care about anything else except getting their friend to Jesus. They knew the power that Jesus had. Are you doing whatever it takes to get to your friends and to your relatives and the people that are around you with the gospel of peace? Are you doing whatever it takes? If not, why not? Because we have paralyzed friends, not physically paralyzed, but spiritually paralyzed. They cannot walk. They cannot talk. They cannot live because they're not in Jesus Christ. Amen. So we need to be the ones to get the word out. We need to do whatever it takes to get into their hearts, to get into their lives, and to reach them with the gospel of peace. Because this is this gospel that we have. Jesus says, go therefore and teach, make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark 16, verse 15 says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that does not believe will be condemned. Are we doing whatever it takes for our friends? But there's a problem that arises here. If we look on and we read on in this passage, we see, second of all, that there are those that will do whatever it takes to be harmful to us. In verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, son, your sins are forgiven you. And some of the scribes were sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why does this man speak blasphemies like this? Who can forgive sins but God? There's always going to be somebody that's going to try to get in your way. But we can overcome. Don't let them discourage you. Don't let anyone in this world distract you from our goal, which is heaven, and our goal to reach out and to work with people. He goes on and says, but immediately when Jesus, verse 8, perceived in his spirit that they reasoned thus within themselves, he said to them, why do you reason about these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the paralytic, your sins are forgiven, or to say, arise, take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Jesus was not about to let these scribes get in his way of doing his work. We cannot let the people, the distractions, the evil influences of this world get in our way to do the Lord's work. There's going to be a lot. Satan is going to come from time to time. He's going to try to get in, and he's going to try to throw things in front of you. He's going to try to do whatever it takes, especially if you're successful. If you start reaching out to people with the gospel, he's going to be out there, and he's going to try to throw these little things in front of you, and he's going to try to dig big ditches in front of you and big holes that you might fall into if you're not careful. One of the biggest things that Satan uses is discouragement. Oh, how he loves to discourage people. He will try to discourage each one of us. He'll try to make us feel like we just can't do it. It's impossible. I can't reach my neighbor. But Jesus says, go. You know what's something interesting about Satan? The Bible says, resist the devil and he will what? He will flee from you. Did you ever realize that when you say, get away from me, Satan, what does Satan have to do? He has to go. He doesn't stay around. He has to go. And by the way, Satan is not omnipresent. That is, Satan's not everywhere at every place. Only God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at every place. So he will leave. He will have to leave. He will go somewhere else when we make him go and we say, get away from me, Satan. Get out of my way, Satan. I am working the Lord's work. I am doing whatever it takes to get to the goal. I'm going to take as many people in this world with me to paradise and on Judgment Day ultimately say, enter in, thou good and faithful servant. We're going to go to heaven. We're going to do whatever it takes. And that leads us to our third point here in this passage. Thirdly, first of all, we will do whatever it takes to be helpful. Some will do whatever it takes to be harmful. And thirdly, we need to do whatever it takes to be healed. Jesus, again, verse 11, I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Immediately, this is talking about the paralytic. Immediately he arose, took up the bed, and went out in the presence of them all, so that all were amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw anything like this. If you're not a Christian, if you're not a child of God tonight, are you willing to do whatever it takes to be spiritually healed? I hope so. I truly hope so. When I said that Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, what is the gospel? Let's look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul tells the church there at Corinth what the gospel is. This is the first part that of your journey toward being healed spiritually. It says in verse 1, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel, which I preached to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I deliver to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he arose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That is the gospel. The good news. The word gospel means good news, glad tidings. The good news is Jesus died, Jesus was buried, and Jesus arose. That's what we're to go out and tell the world about. Now, look over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. There's a response that we have to make. Are you willing, again, to do whatever it takes to be healed? If your answer is yes, look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 8. And we understand the gospel, the good news, death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. Verse 8, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have to obey the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. You will do whatever it takes, right? Well, will you obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, preacher, tell me how. Let's look at Romans 6. Romans chapter 6. Again, we understand the death, the burial, and the resurrection. That's the good news, the gospel. I know this is not new to you. We all know this, but I want us to understand this in case someone doesn't here. And that one that wants to do whatever it takes to become a child of his, to be a follower. He says, he starts in verse 1, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? That's first. Remember, Jesus died on the cross. Our obedience to the gospel is that we die to sin. What does that mean? Well, death is a separation, James chapter 2. You know, so faith without works is dead, just like the body without the spirit is dead. It's a separation. When you separate the spirit from from the body, you have a dead body. So you separate yourself from the world. That's the death to sin. We've got to separate ourselves from the world in order to be faithful to God. Now let's read on. Verse 3. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So here's the other two steps. First, we looked at death. Jesus died. We're to die. Jesus was buried. That's the second part of the gospel. We're to be buried in a watery grave of baptism. This is the point that we have our sins washed away. You know, there's a lot of people that say, I just don't think I need to do that. I just think all I got to do is just believe. All I got to do is just accept Jesus into my heart and I'll be saved. The problem with that is that there's no verse in the Bible that says accept Jesus into your heart and you'll be saved. Nowhere. That's made up. There's no sinner's prayer anywhere in the Bible. None whatsoever. What does the gospel say? What does the Word of God say? How do I obey? How do I get into Christ? Galatians 3:27, we are baptized. When we are baptized, we put on Christ. That is the point we get into Jesus Christ, is through baptism. All my sins are washed away. Acts 22, verse 16, what are you waiting for? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. People will come to you, and they might say, and some might here might believe, that all you got to do is call on the name of the Lord and you'll be saved. Well, what is it? Acts 22:16 tells us that baptism is calling on the name of the Lord. That's where we get that grace. That's where we have our sins washed away, the freedom from sin. And then in verse 4, the end of verse 4, he says that we are raised, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Jesus was raised from the dead. We are to be raised out of the watery grave of baptism, to walk in newness of life. Will you do whatever it takes tonight, today, to be healed, to have your sins forgiven? Now, we can't stop right there. I can't stop right there and say, well, this is it. I've been baptized. I've gone into the watery graves. I've been brought up, and now I just go home. No, that's not true. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 says to remain steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, remembering that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We've got to keep working. We've got to be faithful. Jesus said, it's quoted to say in Revelation 2 and verse 10, the latter part of that verse says, be faithful until death, unto death, and then I will give you the crown of life. He doesn't say just be baptized, come up out of the watery grave, have your sins forgiven, and then go home and just enjoy life. He says, be faithful until death, and then you'll receive the crown. We just start the race when we come up out of the watery grave. We haven't finished the course. Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That is that we've got to keep traveling. Will you do whatever it takes to keep faithful in this life? And if you are a Christian and have drifted back into the world, will you do whatever it takes to come back to Him? God loves you. Christ loves you. God says in John 3:16, for God so loved the whole world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it says, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all sin. Verse 9 of 1 John 1 says, if we confess our sins, He, that is God, is faithful and just to forgive us of all sins. See, this is a wonderful system. How that God has offered us an opportunity for salvation. I know not everybody's going to partake of it in this world. We know that, don't we? That's unfortunate. But that it shouldn't keep us from doing whatever it takes to reach out with the gospel. Heard a story, you hear these preacher stories. Let me give you a little hint. Mark's not here, so I'll just give you a look. Most of those aren't true. They're just made up for, you know, for, I know that. It doesn't look like anybody's surprised about that at all. But the idea, you know, these stories that we have about, you know, but what if you went home tonight and you have a loved one, maybe a neighbor or a friend or a relative, and they're in their house and it's burning tonight. It's on fire, and they're, and you go and you were, what will you do? Will you step back and say, well, yeah, I know that they need to be saved. I know, but you know, if I go in there, I might knock something over and break it. I might upset them a little bit by grabbing them and pulling them out of their house. Would you, I mean, would that be really realistic? Would we really think that? Or would we do whatever it took to get into that house and to save our relative? You know, if my children were in the house burning, if your children were in the house burning, would you do whatever it took to get into that house and to pull them out of that burning house? All of us, I think all of us would say absolutely. Brethren, friends, if we have relatives, neighbors, co-workers, people around us that aren't members of the body of Christ, they're in a burning house. And they need help. And a lot of them are sitting there thinking that everything's fine. It could be that they're upstairs and the downstairs is totally engulfed. And they think, well, I just smell a little smoke, but I'm going to be okay. And you need to be screaming at down at the bottom, yelling up to them, your house is on fire. If you don't come out of that house, you will be lost. That's the idea of whatever it takes to get into the heart of people. Tonight, we're going to offer this lesson up to you. Have you done whatever it takes to become a Christian? To separate yourself from the world? Have your sins washed away? Do you believe that Jesus is the true Son of God? Are you willing now tonight to come and to confess, to say that you believe it with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? If so, there will be some here that will take that confession. They'll baptize you. They'll bring you up out of that water, a new creation, a new creature in Christ. If you are a Christian, and you've drifted back into the world, are you willing tonight to do whatever it takes to be spiritually healed? Let me give you some insights, some things that can help you. First of all, quickly, go to God in prayer right now. If you're drowning in sin, go to God in prayer right now and ask for forgiveness. And He will forgive you. Ask for strength and help and guidance, and He'll help you. Maybe the sin is weighing you down so heavily, you've been praying, but you need the prayers of your brothers and sisters in Christ. We love you. We want to pray with you and to pray for you. You also come and have a seat in one of the front pews when we sing this song. Acknowledge your need for prayers, for help from your brothers and sisters in Christ. And we'll be here to help you and to pray with you and to lift you up and to get you back on the right road toward heaven. Please don't delay. Don't leave this building tonight lost or outside of God or fallen away. But do whatever it takes tonight to come to Him and to remain faithful. As together we stand and as we sing.
When Jesus comes to reward His servants, whether it be noon or night, faithful to Him will He find us watching with our lamps all trimmed and bright. Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come? If at the dawn of the early morning He shall call us one by one, when to the Lord we restore our talents, will He answer thee, well done? Oh, can we say we are ready, brother, ready for the soul's bright home? Say, will He find you and me still watching, waiting, waiting when the Lord shall come?